The 0-2 pitch, swing and a miss, struck him out. The Philadelphia Phillies are 2008 World Champions of Baseball. It's Wednesday, September 30th, 2015. Welcome to the Philly Press Box Radio Roundtable, brought to you by ShopForKisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. I'm Bill Furman. I'll be your host tonight, and my partner Jim Chetchesko has the night off, so tonight I'll be joined by what seems like a cast of thousands. We'll have Bob Sullivan, affectionately known as Captain Kool-Aid to his Facebook friends. We'll have Ed Chambers, a longtime Eagles fan, and the man that brings the passion every day, Fred Hugo, with us tonight to talk Eagles-Jets, Eagles-Redskins, where they see the team being at this point and how they see the season playing out. Also, for everyone, our ShopForKisses.org phone lines will be open throughout the entire show. So if you want to call in, ask our guests a question, or if you want to talk Eagles, our phone number is 929-477-2855. Welcome to the Philly Press Box Radio Roundtable, fellas.
Hello.
How you doing? Good to be here.
Hey, good to be here.
Good, good. Hey, Bob, first thing we have to do, let's be sure we're clear before we get all this started that you are not in your white robe right now as we're getting ready to do this show.
Well, actually, I had a little mishap in the ocean today, and I'm actually dripping wet right now and didn't have time to change. I had to get up the beach, all four-wheel drive, pulled in the driveway, as you probably know, at about 3 minutes to seven. So I'm going to give it my best shot after a very interesting day in the ocean.
All right. Well, as long as you're here and no one got eaten by sharks, and please don't let us know if you're going into the rope.
I will not be going into the rope.
All right. Hey, let me start out by repeating two of my favorite quotes that I think fit the Eagles team and their present situation. And first, there's no such thing as a bad win. So maybe the Jets win was, the Jets game was an ugly win. It's still a win. It brings the Birds back into a game of the Cowboys, three-way tie for second between the Giants and the Redskins. So I think that's a good thing. And then second, there's a very old Joe Paterno quote that I think is fitting, and it goes that you're never as good as you think you are when you win, and you're never as bad as you think you are when you lose. And I think that fits this team pretty well at this point. I certainly think they're not as bad as they were against the Cowboys, and certainly we have not seen them be very good yet. So I think we sure hope it's nothing but upside moving forward. So let's start out with the Jets game, and Fred, I'm going to give you the first crack at this, and then Ed can follow, and Bob can follow from there. That's how we're going to go about this. But I guess I'll set the table for you a little bit with some statistics and things. The Eagles won that game 24-17. Darren Sproles with his punt return was absolutely key. And Fred, when you were our guest last week, you actually called that, made that prediction that Sproles would do that. So good call on that. And Ryan Matthews rushed for 100 yards. Jordan Matthews was the leading receiver with just 49 yards. And interestingly enough, he was the only wide receiver that caught a pass in that game, which we'll get into that a little bit. And in regarding the Jets, I have to say Ryan Fitzpatrick was pretty horrible. I have to think that he probably could not overthrow any of us. He had a couple chances on deep balls. If he throws the ball out there, they're touchdowns. He underthrew every one of them. And Brandon Marshall, he has 10 catches for 109 yards, but he lets the ball get through his hands and gets intercepted. And that lateral, I don't know what in the world he was doing there, but his mistakes, as good of a player as he is, those mistakes cost the Jets the game and pretty much. So, Fred, the table's set. What were your thoughts on Eagles-Jets?
That's funny. I didn't know Joe Paterno had that comment, because I said something similar to that on your show, how the Dallas game, it's definitely not as bad as it seems. And I think it's going to just be a gradual grind through the first half of the season. So that game, the line improved, but they're not definitely more room for plenty of improvement. And what I also like to see, even though the Jets' offense is pretty bad, and those turnovers, that Brandon Marshall play, wow, I couldn't believe my eyes when I saw that. But I'm hoping, and this is what I was hoping for in the offseason, is we're going to begin to transition to a team that plays good defense and runs the football. And I think that's the best recipe for us to be successful in the future. So slowly, I think they'll continue to improve, and that's what I saw on Sunday.
Ed, what was your thinking?
We had two good halves. That gives us four good halves four good quarters out of 12. The third and the fourth quarter, where they're back to themselves. I don't get these guys. Although, quite honestly, I'm not surprised. I'm the negative one. I said nine. I said 7-9 before the season started. I had them beating the Jets. So they are what they are. They can't run the ball. They're players that Chip brought in. You know, I'm not a Chip fan. They brought in a running back that goes north and south, and they try to run him wide. Spent $25 million for that. They wiped out the continuity of the offensive line. You don't do that. You brought in a guy at Maxwell. He's terrible. He is terrible. That's two strikes, two times in a row they brought in a defensive back that backfired. With that Asamoah a few years ago. I don't like where this team is headed.
Bob, what do you think?
I don't know how much you want me to go.
Well, first I'd like to say, hey, Ed, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Red.
Miss you, man. I see Fred quite often, so I'm not going to debate with Ed about all that stuff. I mean, I do think Maxwell had a much, much better game. But going into this year, you guys know I'd pick 16-0 if I could, but, you know, I had them cruising to 2-0. And before the season started, I had them losing to the Jets because I just figured the Jets defense would be too tough. And then it proved out that the Jets defense was pretty awesome going through the first two games. But then when they lost that game and I was sitting next to you, Bill, I didn't get too down on the whole situation. But I just look at the ebb and flow of what's going on in the, you know, NFL and figured, well, this game's the one that the Eagles are going to win and start turning it around. So I switched my pick to Eagles over the Jets, just like you did. I think I had the score 27-17. Figuring the Jets probably ain't going to score no more than 17. So I'm pretty happy where they're at, other than I was hoping they'd be 2-1. But, you know, I'll take 1-2, and with all the crap that's going on with the Dallas Cowboys, I feel pretty good about it. We're only improving.
Well, you know, something that I discovered as I was looking up information for the show, and I really don't even know why I tracked this, you know, what made it come to my mind. I guess, you know, Sean Lee, we never blocked Sean Lee one bit 2 weeks ago. He had 14 tackles, and the leading tackler for the Jets was DeMario Davis with 13 tackles. He's also a linebacker. So I went back and I looked and I said, well, you know, who led the team in tackles for the Falcons? And sure enough, there's Paul Warlow, who I don't even really know. He had 12 tackles at linebacker against the Eagles, and they have Keenan Robinson coming up this week for the Redskins, who's their leading tackler. He's a pretty darn good player. And I'm thinking to myself, now, what are we seeing here? If we have a linebacker running around making double-figure tackles in every game that we've played, there's definitely a problem up front, and we've added a new player this week because of injury. And as Ed mentioned, you know, about the continuity, it's just not there. And you know, I think in two of the three games so far, Jason Peters has been laying on the ground, and in the Dallas game, he actually came off the field. And every time he's laying down there and getting up slow, I'm thinking, you know, we lose Jason Peters, there is big, big trouble because they're not very good even with him, and it would only get worse. What's your thought on that, Ed?
I don't know. I'm just disappointed, as you know. I mean, hell, I've had season tickets or part of season tickets with you guys for a long time, and for us to get up there, it involves an airline. So we're as diehard as anybody. I just think the moves that the coach made is putting us back in time. You're not going to go into a draft in the future years and pick up two linemen. You may get one if you're lucky, but if you take that early pick for a lineman, you're not going to get the quarterback. We don't have a quarterback that's going to work in our system. There's not one on the roster right now. You need that special quarterback that's got some wheels. I mean, I wasn't a huge Nick Foles fan because not that he didn't have the arm or the head, but I didn't think he was fast enough a foot. He used to remind me of Herman Munster running them big old boots when he was running. Sam doesn't even do that. I mean, it's embarrassing. His yards per completion has got to be the lowest, or yards per attempt has got to be the lowest in the league. He keeps dumping off the back. That's not what this is about.
Well, and Fred, I wanted to ask you exactly about that. The wide receiver game, you know, Jordan Matthews, as I mentioned, the only wide receiver with any catches last week was six. And, you know, the Eagles, they attempted to stretch the field a couple of times this week at least, and Foles underthrew those deep post routes. But they just whether he's checking down too quick or no one's open because the receivers aren't good enough and they're covered, this 5 to 7 yard passing offense is making me nuts.
Well, I mean, I didn't like the Sam Bradford. I never have liked Sam Bradford. I didn't like him in college. I didn't like him coming out. I actually agreed with Skip Bayless when I thought he wouldn't be successful in the pros. I understood the trade. I wasn't a big Nick Foles fan either. I just thought, like, we have average to above-average quarterbacks that when the pressure comes on, they kind of fold. So I do agree that we need to find that quarterback, and if Sam can evolve into it, great, but I don't see that either. And on top of that, there's a lot of drop balls going around, as well as he's missing people that are wide open, and he just looks like a deer in the headlights. It kind of reminds me of McNabb when, like, he would have those faces, and you'd just be like, what's going on here? But as far as getting, like, a mobile quarterback, I don't understand that. I still will not understand why the fan base thinks we need a mobile quarterback. When does a mobile quarterback ever win a Super Bowl? One time, two times, or Russell Wilson won one, and what did he have? A dominant defense predicated on the run. So I don't think mobile quarterback's the answer. I think defense and running the football and the line, another injury did hurt us, but we have to continue to grow, and I think they improved, like I said, and they'll improve a little bit more next week and so on, and by the middle of the year, you'll start to see the offense hit its stride, in my opinion.
I wanted to ask you about the Maxwell deal and how you feel like that's worked out. Julio Jones took him to school, you know, and in the Dallas game, Terrence Williams didn't do great until the end when it appeared Maxwell packed his bags before the game was over. But then Brandon Marshall comes back with another 100-yard game this week, and, you know, he's the guy that's supposed to be the lockdown on those guys, and it doesn't seem to be working out too well.
Well, you know, I totally agree with that, and, you know, it was unbelievable sitting there watching it in the Dallas game up close. I mean, you know, me and you were looking at each other like, what the hell? Pretty crazy. I did hear, I mean, I know Marshall got 100 yards, but, you know, how meaningful were they all? And I think he had a much better game. So hopefully, you know, he continues to have better. And I did hear him say that he did get a little help, you know, over top. So, as you know, I was on my way to the Outer Banks, and I walked into the only local pub down here that had the game on. I walked in as they were running that punt back, and so that was pretty exciting. A lot of Eagles chants. Didn't get to see the second half, so I didn't see a whole lot. But I hope this game is a little more telling that he's you know, getting a little more comfortable, and they're going to give him a little more help. I mean, I think it's you who said you can't play that position with a little bit of help. You just can't cover these guys.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, Wayne, let's switch over and let's talk Eagles-Redskins a little bit. And, you know, first we'll start out with the injury report, at least the latest and greatest. Michael Kendrick looks like he's probable, which will be good. DeMarco Murray is still questionable, so he's most likely going to be out, I would guess. Kiko Alonso, although good news today as far as a season-ending injury, he'll certainly be out this week. Josh Huff is day-to-day, so he's probably going to play. And, of course, Cody Parkey's out, and we have a new kicker in town in Caleb Sturgis as well. So, but the important thing, I think, is that the Redskins, DeSean Jackson, is still questionable, and he's a big loss for the Redskins. And, you know, the Redskins love to run the ball. Alfred Morris, he is a good football player. He's averaging 4 yards a carry, but the Eagles are good on defense, you know, in run defense. So that'll be a real challenge. And Kirk Cousins likes to turn the ball over a little bit, but the Redskins are averaging, you know, 382 yards a game, so they can move the ball a little bit. They just they won one and lost two. So Ed, Eagles Redskins, how do you see this playing out?
I have my fingers crossed that Mr. Sullivan is correct for once, but I'm concerned about their ability to stop Alfred Morris. Okay, and then they got the new kid back there. The kid from Armwood. What's it, Jones?
Yeah, who's Jones.
The new kid? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Two good running backs, good line. One of the things I see with the NFC East, in a couple games I saw the opening Dallas Giants game, I saw the Eagles-Dallas game. They look like the East teams anyway are going back to the old smash mouth East, NFC East, the days of our youth. I just don't know that we're built for that. I don't think we're built for that smash mouth, and because of that, I'm concerned about Washington's running game. Hopefully I'm wrong. I think we'll be able to score on them. Back to Fred's comment, not to go back on you, about the spread offense, and the reason I think we need a versatile quarterback from the last segment is Bradford sooner or later has got to turn off the field and run. That's what makes this offense work, even with Foles. If you remember, he would fake the wide and keep the ball once in a while. We have to have a quarterback that can do that. If not, this offense is not going to work. And I don't need a Russell Wilson or one of those guys that's going to run the ball more so than not. We got to have a threat of somebody taking the ball wide. But I picked Washington. My heart's with Philly, but I just don't see it. Until the line gets together, I'm concerned that we can't beat anybody.
Yeah, and to your point, Alfred Morris, as I mentioned, has 199 yards rushing. Matt Jones has 189 yards rushing. So they are a little two-headed monster out there. Bob, what's your thoughts, Eagles-Redskins coming up?
Well, just to go back at Ed a little bit, it still sticks in my mind. When, you know, he admittedly says he's not a Chip fan, and he keeps throwing out there, you know, well, Bradford this and all this other stuff. You know, who else could we have? I mean, I am a Foles fan, but we have Bradford now, and he's going to continue to improve. But what sticks in my mind was Ed said, now that you got Chip, you will never have a defense that could stop a college team, let alone an NFL team. This defense has been getting steadily better since Chip's been here. And the front seven, everybody knows it. He's even bringing in guys, you know, to back up these guys. I mean, people get hurt in the NFL. And we've got our own share of people getting hurt. Guys are stepping up, playing tough. I think the defense is going to keep the Redskins under 17 again. Just like I thought they would keep the Jets under 17. So I feel pretty good about this weekend.
Are you? Okay. What makes you think that?
About the Washington game?
Yeah.
Oh, because I just think we're going to keep them under 17 and we're going to score more than 17. So that's exactly what I thought against the Jets. It's exactly what I think now.
Okay. Fred, what do you think?
It is going to be smash-mouth football, so we're going to see. We're going to see what the defense does.
Yeah, Captain Kool-Aid, I'm with you on that. I'm with you on the defense improving. I do see Ed's point, though. They need to become smash-mouth football, but are they built towards it? And D'Amico Ryans, it was funny, coming on the show today, I read in an article on CSN that he was saying that when he got traded here, and what he thinks now is the defense needs to return to the days of Jim Johnson. And I think we're trying to get there, but there are a few people on that defense that are soft. I really worry about Maxwell and Carroll in the end being physical. I am happy with Jenkins and Thurman, so we'll see. Like it's a process, but I think they're heading in that direction. So I'm excited for the defense. Alfred Morris, I'm more worried about Matt Jones than Alfred Morris, but I guess the 1-2 punch, whoever's hot that day. But just watching their games, it just seems like Matt Jones has more of a burst. But if we can stop the run, I think the key here is if DeSean Jackson plays or not. If DeSean Jackson plays, they have a deep ball that will enable them to run the football, and we'll see. Because if Maxwell can't cover them or whoever is on them can't cover them, then they're going to be able to run the football on us. If DeSean Jackson doesn't play, I think it's no question we'll stop the run. But if he does play, that's going to be the big question mark. So I think the Eagles will win.
I agree. I mean, DeSean Jackson makes it a whole different situation, and you know, because you still have Pierre Garçon out there, you have Jordan Reed out there. Jordan Reed's actually their leading receiver at this point, but I think it makes it a whole different deal, just like you're saying. But you know, back to Bob's point about the defense overall, I for one lean more towards Ed's point of view on this. I love the front three and the subs. They all are pretty good. Fletcher Cox is a beast. Connor Barwin, I like. The three inside linebackers, well, now with Jordan Hicks, we'll see what happens with Aaron. He had a real nice first game, but, you know, they'll game plan him a little bit as well. But the three guys that they have in there, Kendricks and Alonzo, and Ryan's, you know, I don't know that was a whole lot of upgrade. It takes three guys to make the two good ones because they're all banged up all the time. So, and of course, you know, I don't like Brandon Graham one bit, and I even like him less now that the season is going on than I did before the season when I told you he wasn't going to be any good, and he has proved exactly that, averaging about one tackle a game. He is not the answer. He's not going to. I think the more the season goes on, the more the film sessions go, and they go through the East a time or two, just like Chip does all the time, and a lot of times he does a real good job at it. It's all about matchups, and we've seen Connor Barwin running with running backs, and he's done a pretty nice job with that, Barwin, because he's such a good player. But Brandon Graham is not going to run with running backs, and those are the matchups that the other team is going to try to get. As far as the defensive backs, I like Malcolm Jenkins a lot. I think he's the best player back there. None of the other three do a whole lot for me. Their nickel package isn't very good. Rowe did play a nice – you had a couple opportunities the other night, made a couple nice plays. But, you know, he's the dime guy. He's more down the line. So we'll have to see. I think that the DeSean Jackson is the key to the game, and whether the Redskins are going to come out and try to hammer the football. So we'll see. And defensively, you know, or offensively for the Eagles, they've got to throw the ball downfield, and they have to start making plays. Fred, where's your man Riley Cooper? And not only that, where's Aguilar? Where is Selleck?
Don't call him my man. I hate Riley Cooper.
Well, that's why I called him your man. I was leading you,
make sure the callers know that I hate Riley Cooper. All right, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, that's why I was leading into that. You know, I was going to ask you, these wideouts, there's nobody around. There's nobody even making a catch.
Go ahead. Sorry.
They're not getting open. They aren't getting open.
They stink. They stink. I agree. And when they are open, Sam Bradford doesn't see them, or they drop the ball. So I'm not happy with the receivers either. I'm not all Mr. Positive. I can see what's going on in the field. I mean, there's a couple touchdowns that were dropped. Even the running backs out of the backfield, we can't run that wheel route and expect that to be our source of offense moving the football. So I think as this progresses, we need a healthy three backs, and they need to cycle them in and out like a three-headed monster, very similar to what Andy Reid did with Westbrook, Buckholder, and Deuce back in, I believe it was 02, 03. And that's what I think the goal is, and I'm hoping that it gets there. Well, good, real quick, good point on Brandon Graham. I mean, that he stinks, and we will forever rue the day that we traded up with Earl Thomas sitting there. I was jumping in front of my TV. I remember so excited. I'm like, we got a replacement for Dawkins. They're going to take Earl Thomas. And Andy Reid took Brandon Graham, and it's going to kill us forever. It kills me.
And now he's an outside linebacker, which even makes it worse. Because
yeah.
If he does have any strength,
college,
he can rush
though, right?
The passer a little bit.
Sounds like that was a parting gift to us.
Well, he was here with Reed for what, two or three seasons.
Yeah.
And I guess my final comment on the Bradford deal, you know, I don't get the whole trade. If you look at player for player, Foles for Bradford, let's just call them a wash. Say they're equal players, but you traded a second round pick along with the one player for this guy. You paid this guy $13 million. I don't know what Foles was getting, but it was nowhere near $13 million. But he's only got a one-year deal. So if the guy lit the scoreboard up like Tom Brady is, you're going to have to re-up him at the end of the year for $100 million. Or if he doesn't get the job done, you're going to cut bait with him. And then who's going to be your quarterback next year? So you're going to start all over again and try to figure out who to start a quarterback in year four of this regime. And you know that the Jason Peters and the Brent Celek's and those guys, they're going to be gone soon. The window isn't there. Now all of a sudden you need more people and more holes to fill. And you've got to start out with a brand new quarterback in your system or somebody in the draft, and that's not good. So that's my take on that. So let's move on right quick. Let's get our trivia question in, and we'll come back. We're going to talk some more Eagles, but let's get our trivia question in. The correct answer will win the autographed 8x10 color photo of the Eagles' former quarterback, Nick Foles, courtesy of Carl's Cards and Collectibles. And I'm telling you what, it doesn't get any – if this question does not get any easier than this, okay? So if nobody – this is our third time trying to give this picture away, and no one can answer the easy question, so I've made it even easier. So easy that Jimmy Wilson or Danny Bevins can probably get it right. How's that sound? Ooh. And you guys are not eligible for this, by the way. Here we go. The Eagles have only two receivers – with more than 100 yards for the season. Name them. How much simpler can it be than that? Our shopforkisses.org phone lines. The answer to trivia question is 929-477-2855. The Eagles have two receivers with more than 100 yards for the season. Name them. Phone number again, 929-477-2855. All right, let's take a break, grab a glass of tea right quick, thank our sponsor, shopforkisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. By logging on to www.shopforkisses.org's website, you become connected to over 3,000 stores, including all the big ones you already shop at. Every purchase made gets you cash back, and each purchase benefits the Kisses for Kyle Foundation, which helps families dealing with childhood cancer throughout the Delaware Valley. If you have any questions, contact our man who's on with us tonight, Bob Sullivan, at bobsullivan.shopcom@gmail.com, or give him a call at 484-319-8043. And, Bob, since we actually have you on live tonight, do you want to give yourself a cheap ad right quick?
Well, yeah, I mean, certainly, Bill, you explained it to the T. I'm hoping the listeners are paying attention to it. That site will save you money almost on every purchase you possibly can make, from airfare, you know, to clothing, to groceries. It's an unbelievable site. And the beauty of it is, a little bit of the proceeds goes to Kisses for Kyle Foundation, which is a wonderful thing. But I love to talk to anybody, you know, that's on the line. Just give me a call, and I can walk you through how you can save thousands of dollars a year, depending on how much online shopping you do.
All right. Sounds good. All right, well, let's move on. And, Bob, you're actually going to be first up on this one. What I want to talk about is, as we're now two-plus seasons into the Chip Kelly era as a coach, and now we've got just a small sampling as a GM, can this guy win a Super Bowl? What's your assessment so far and looking forward?
Wow, you're going right for the juggler on Mr. Kool-Aid here, I see.
Well,
I'm
you just have to be
in.
First. Everybody's going to get a crack at it.
I'm certainly all in this NFL. I really believe that you need to be a very intelligent coach. I believe that he's a very intelligent coach. I don't think any of us have figured out exactly what he's doing. But I think he's, you know, going out on a limb to do what he wants to do. I love the fact that he walked into Jeffrey Lurie's office and manned up and said, "Give this thing to me. I'm gonna take it, and I'm gonna get you to the Super Bowl." And I totally believe in it, and I do think he can win the Super Bowl.
Fred,
I mean, it's tough to even say, because it's like we haven't even won a Super Bowl, so I don't even. We have an NFL championship in 1960. I think, yeah, he can win a Super Bowl, but he has to continue to improve and remove his ego a bit. You know, I think he made some decisions this offseason, and I agree with a lot of them. But, namely, the offensive line wasn't the best decision, and I think it'll grow as it goes. But I don't think he should have got rid of both Herriman and Mathis. And I think it should have been more of a gradual of a process. But if he can learn from his mistakes and improve, being this is really the first year with him making all the decisions, I think he can win a Super Bowl. I think he might have to give Howie a call, though, even though he has all control, and figure out how we can get Alshon Jeffrey here from Chicago, since it seems like they're doing a fire sale over there. He might have to call him and see if he can finagle a trade. But other than that, I think he definitely can win a Super Bowl, and just has to improve and not let his ego get in front of him.
Ed, what do you think?
Don't see it happening. And my reasoning is not that his system it can't work, because maybe it can work. My problem with him is I don't think he'll ever get the players. I mean, I was just up in Philly, and I'm hearing these guys bash him. He's saying, my system's working, the players aren't doing it. You're not going to get – this is not college. You do need some superstars. And the superstars – hate to go back to Andy Reid, but the superstars wanted to play under Andy. Superstars do not want to play under Chip. You don't get the superstars, it's hard as hell to win. And that's I don't see it happening. And, I mean, I want them to win too, but it's – they're a long way from winning right now. And we
well,
don't have a
you
superstar.
Know, I'm going to,
who would
I'm going to tell
superstar?
You, Ed. I'm going to tell you, Ed, that you – it's almost – I almost feel like me and you rehearsed this because – but we certainly didn't.
But
I was going to go right where you just went. And I always hate to – I hate the whole Andy Reid, Chip Kelly comparison thing. But something that happened the other week after the Dallas game – just really kind of rubbed me the wrong way. And, you know, Andy used to get bothered by the Philadelphia media because he would never say anything. He always had his players' backs, and it wouldn't matter who stunk the place up. You know, we got to do a better job. We got to get them in the right places. We got to do this with this and this. And those guys wanted to play for him. And, you know, Chip comes out, whole different guy, different approach, and it was, well, we couldn't block the 2-3 technique. We couldn't block anybody. We couldn't do this. I thought he was very way too much blameful to his players. You know, it's not the system. It wasn't the game plan. It was we didn't block. We didn't do this. And I don't think that's going to work. I just really didn't like that. I was really uncomfortable with that whole thing. As far as the personnel moves, I'm the one, and I know you guys probably know this from talking to me along the way, I don't think his moves in nearly any position that he's made has made this team better. And that includes the running back. You know, you guys, I think, know that I wasn't in on the DeMarco Murray train to begin with because of the whole 400-touch thing. And DeMarco Murray is an injury machine. He's injured already. He's going to miss games. It's a brutal league. But anybody that thinks DeMarco Murray is going to be a 1,000 or 1,400-yard back, I think, has lost their mind. And they paid him a ton of money in a long-term deal to come here. So I'm going to say no at this point.
Didn't somebody tell you a few months back that DeMarco Murray would be hurt?
Yes, they did.
They all get hurt in the NFL. Come on, man.
But his first 4 years, he was hurt every single year. And you're right, everybody gets hurt. But he was hurt every single year. Then you put him behind that stack of refrigerators that Dallas calls on offensive line, and he goes for, what, 1,800 yards. Well, he don't want to get hurt then. I don't think his heart is there. I question the man's heart, whether or not he really wants to go.
Him on the sideline at the Dallas game, and the man had some heart. I think he wants to see some holes open. And, you know, you're saying Andy Reid's, you know, way of going about things and protecting the players. Well, how'd that work out? You know, we had them 14 years. We didn't win a Super Bowl. I think the team responded to Chip Kelly after the Dallas game. I mean, who in the world thought that they would respond to the way Chip Kelly kind of blamed the players? They responded. They came back and kept the Jets ass.
They didn't play very well in that Jets game. I mean, they won.
They won.
They won mainly because they had a punt return. But I wouldn't say they responded. The Jets are horrible. Again, a win is a win. We all want to take away from the win.
You guys were saying how great the Jets are going into the game now. That's what I don't understand. And I agree the Jets are horrible. But, like, everyone's like, oh, we're playing a 2-0 Jets team in this great defense. And then they get 100 yards rushing. They improved, did not play great. And now everyone's crushing them for not playing good enough. Like, we just need to be patient and watch it go. But Bill, what was our bet in the summer? What did I say when they got DeMarco Murray? And everyone was like, oh, we have a 1,400-yard rusher. We have a bet that
you're right. You said he would not be getting the carries, that they would be sharing the carries. And I disagreed with that because they paid him $60 million or whatever in the world that number is that they paid him. But I also, and Ed has said all along that he was going to get hurt, but I certainly expected him. I mean, he's the starter, as we saw against Dallas when Ryan Matthews had one carry. I think if Murray came back healthy, he would be the starter again, and he would be getting the bulk of the carries. But if he's not healthy, it doesn't matter.
I would say
I think they'll split it up.
Red referred to this. Murray against the Cowboys. He was the one guy on the sideline that wanted to fight rather than lose. I think, and I'm not in that locker room, and I'm not really hearing stuff that's just an outsider's perception. Guys, Jeremy Maclin, LeSean McCoy, they didn't like losing. They didn't like it. Even Meshaun didn't like losing. All those guys, and we've gotten rid of them, and it was almost like they quit against Dallas. They were coasting in the second half against the Jets. Patrick sucks. He just flat out.
Well, you know what? And this is supposed to be a subject, I guess, that you're not supposed to talk about. We're going to talk about it anyway. Is I don't know. I certainly don't know if it's true or if it's false, but and if it's guys just crying poor mouth or not. But if these guys leave here, and I hope it's false. I certainly think it's false. But if guys leave here and they're talking about this whole chip in the black guy thing, that's a problem. That goes back to Ed, you talking about not getting superstars to come here. You want to talk about something among the players getting around that could sure cause problems as far as getting players in the future. And again, I certainly don't believe that you've coached through all the ranks and made it to the NFL and you care about the color of a player's skin, because that's not the way it is. But if the players feel that way, that's trouble.
There's no way that Chip's got any issues with that. I think it's the superstars. He doesn't want people to show him up. And when you don't have them in professional sports, any sport, you're not going to make it. You can't jeopardize team chemistry. I'm a big one in team chemistry. I mean, I called the Phillies' demise the day they got rid of Jason Worth, because certain people make everybody a closer-knit group. And I don't know if it was Macklin. I don't know who it was. Okay, maybe it was a bond. Who knows? But when they disassembled the group, these guys don't seem as close.
What did that group win, though? The group didn't win anything under Reed or Chip.
They got the playoffs, though. They got the playoffs.
Not last year.
Once? Twice? Well, the second time, I think the first time was with McNabb. I don't know. I see your point, though. Stars to win games. But because the Super Bowl, if you look down the list of Super Bowls, there's plenty of stars. I do see your point. But I think this particular group, I don't know. I don't see how they were going to win together. Certainly not on a Chip with the way he does. I agree with you. He does have a superstar complex, but I don't think that particular group was going to win either way. So,
well, maybe not. But at least we had good players come in here on a regular basis because they wanted to play here. I think we're exposed now. Well, we're not going to get that anymore, or at least not for a number of years because of Chip. Come on, Reds, get in here.
Well, Maxwell came.
I'm trying to make any sense of what you're trying to say. There's no proof of nobody not coming here. There's a lot of moaning and groaning by people that have left here. And they're not team players. I think they'll prove not to be team players where they go. I think he's made the right moves of what he's doing, but I see no factual evidence that people won't come here. Murray led the league in the in rushing last year. That's a marquee player. He had no problem coming here. Now, I know Bill's going to say, well, they paid him a lot of money. Well, Bill last year would always say, I don't care about money. I just want people that can play. Well, he came here. I just don't get where you're going with all this. I think you're surmising
something. But he can't play.
Surmising something.
In that case.
DeMarco Murray came to Philly because of his roommate, his college roommate. He was going to
you
get that
think,
much.
Are they rooming together?
He came here to get paid. Same reason Maxwell came here, to get paid.
But this is the NFL. This is what every team does. Every team does this. You guys are trying to single out Chip Kelly for what every other team is doing. I just don't get where you're going with nobody coming here. I haven't heard anybody say, I'm not going to Philly. And when they do, give me a shout and let me know.
I saw an interview just over the weekend about Murray. And what made your decision to come? He says, my college quarterback. Bradford's the one to start lobbying him, come to Philly, come to Philly, come to Philly. You automatically feel wanted. He was going to get $25 million if he went anywhere. Wherever he went, he was going to get $25 million. But he wanted to come here because he wanted to be with Sam Bradford.
Well, that's a good thing in my mind.
Yeah, but it was
Sam Bradford sounds like he's happy to be here too and playing for Chip. And if it wasn't for drop passes, the guy would have a 77.6 completion rate.
I got a question for you on the race thing, real quick. What color is DeMarco Murray? What color is Maxwell? What color is Ryan Matthews? So I don't see the race. I need to make that point. I don't see the race issue in any way, and I just want to make sure I'm heard on that. I can't even for the life of me understand why that continues to be brought up. I think it's more the star, the outspoken person, but the race card, I just don't understand why that continues to be brought up.
Absolutely.
I agree with you.
Well, I agree with you, too. I agree with you, too, but like I say, when guys get traded and get into other organizations and get friends and start talking, you never know. It doesn't take, as we all know, you can put 10 people in a room and 9 of them are positive or and one's negative, and the people start wanting to lean toward the negative guy. So that happens. So hopefully not. And like I say, you don't get to be coaching for all these years and make it to the National Football League and that be some sort of issue. That would have been an issue long, long before now if it ever was. Okay, well, hey, let's move on to our next segment. And as much as it pains me, I have to welcome my son, Billy Furman, to the show. He was the winner of this week's Philly Press Box Radio Pick'em Pool by virtue of the tiebreaker. There were 5 people that had 14 wins this week. Man, what a week. And another 5 with 13. So, by the way, Billy is tied with our buddy Danny Bevins for first place in the overall standings with Dave Capper, Jimmy Wilson, and Terry House just 1 game behind. Billy, welcome to the show, and it's your turn to talk some smack or just talk Eagles, or I think you might have a couple brothers you might want to shout out to, and maybe even to Bob Sullivan.
I'll take a look from young Billy Furman. I got no problem with that.
Yeah, blame my brothers for my performance this week. One of them started talking a little noise on Tuesday, saying he was going to run away with it. So I actually had to try, and came out 14-2. So it was a good week. It was an easy game, but it was still a good week.
Even a blind squirrel finds a nut once in a while.
Hey.
Well, last week Fred was the winner, and he's with us right now. And I believe Fred, who did you thank last week? Did you thank yourself for being so smart? Is that what it was?
Yeah, I thank myself and how great I am and my ability to make picks, which I did pretty well this week. I had 4 losses, I believe.
I mean, I give everybody a couple weeks head start, and then just chase them down and blow everybody away the rest of the season. So that has begun. And I'll just make this my weekly routine at 7:45 on Wednesdays now.
So you're planning on bringing that Brian Dawkins helmet to your mantle.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Well,
hey, since we have you here, and I know you watched that Eagles game, and you've watched them through the season. What's your take on what you've seen in the first 3 games, and what's your take on you being a college football coach? What's your take on Chip Kelly making his move from the college ranks to the NFL?
Well, first of all, the Eagles, I mean, their offense is a dumpster fire. I mean, they had 260 yards of offense. You're not going to win games like that. They're definitely not going to win a Super Bowl. Look at, you're going to have to get through Aaron Rodgers and the Packers and probably the Cardinals to get to the Super Bowl. We couldn't even step on the field against those 2 teams right now. To win the Super Bowl, you got to beat one of those guys, and then you got to beat probably the Patriots. So, we got a long way to go before we can even think about Super Bowls. The receivers, the whole thing with your offense, if you want to run the football, you still got to have a deep threat. Like you guys were saying before, you got to be able to take the top off the defense and get down the field, at least threaten them. We don't even have guys that can run 10 yards. So, we got rid of every superstar player. The NFL is about players. I mean, everybody's a good coach. I mean, coaches get fired on Monday and they're hired on Tuesday with somebody else. So, they're not terrible coaches. You got to have the players. So the Eagles don't have that right now, and they better figure something out because they don't really have anything in the future. If you look at the roster, who's their centerpiece? Who do they build around? I don't see anybody. It's not Bradford. Maybe can't be Murray. You can't build a team around a running back. They get hurt too much, then their shelf life's too small. So, you know, I just don't see them being
good. I wanted to ask you another question, and this one is something we haven't talked about and doesn't have necessarily to do all with the Eagles, but just in general, and having been in college games and college practices and all that. What do you think about all these injuries and the fact that guys are going down and they do less and less hitting during the week and not even in pads a lot of times, and then they're going out in game day and they're just getting banged up all the way across the board. Injuries are up.
Well, I mean, you got to have – in college it's not as hard because the coaches control what's going on. In the NFL, you got your CBA, you know, the CBA says you can only practice this amount of times in pads. You can only hit this many days. So, you know, it's easier in college, but you gotta be able to balance the hit. You gotta be able to condition the body to take hits without overdoing it and getting them hurt. So, you know, in the NFL now, you're seeing a lot of these small injuries. Well, the body's just not used to it. You know, you can't. It'd be like you got, you know, one of us going on the field right off the street and taking a hit. You're going to be hurt. Like, you know, it doesn't work. You got to condition your body to be able to take that.
I got you. All right. Well, thanks. Thanks for joining us. You got your 5 minutes with the Philly Press Box, and hopefully, we never see you again.
Yeah. I'll see you next week.
Here.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, let's update our upcoming signings list to Carl's Cards and Collectibles. Carl will hold his Customer Appreciation Day Saturday, October 10th, coming up, and he's going to have a couple Broad Street Bullies. Gary Dornhofer and Larry Goodenough will be in the store, along with former Philadelphia A's and Phillies pitcher Bobby Shantz will also be there. Bobby is up in his 90s now. Not many people can say they pitch for the A's and the Phillies. And one of my favorite Phillies from the old days, Yes We Can, Dave Cash, will be in the store on October 17th. And a couple more Broad Street Bullies and Stanley Cup champions, Rick McLeish and Bob the Hound Kelly, will be in the store on October the 24th. You can get more information on the website at carlscards.com or on Twitter at carlscards or call the store at 610-789-4996. Well, fellas, it's the time to show that Chet and I make our weekly predictions, so get ready. And first, Chet recorded his prediction and sent it to me. I have not listened to it on purpose, so here you go. And, Fred, you're going to be up right after the Chetster.
Guys, the Birds got a much-needed win on Sunday up at the Meadowlands over the Jets, and now they need to keep it going down in D.C., and that should happen. There are still various concerns. I mean, a new face on the O-line, Sam Bradford's inconsistencies, a new place kicker, but Chip Kelly's guys are taking baby steps, at least, back to being more of the team we thought they'd be. And, oh yeah, the Redskins still pretty much stink. My Week 4 pick, the Eagles 31, Redskins 17.
Wow. Chet's still believing. What do you got, Fred?
I think this is going to be a grinded-out NFC East smash-mouth battle. I think the Eagles' offense will improve slightly, but it will still be a struggle. Fans will get that feeling that they had like this week that we won, but not feeling so good. I think the defense will continue to improve, and they'll have Kirk Cousins as a turnover machine. So I see three turnovers from the Eagles defense, and I have the Eagles winning 23-17 with three Caleb Sturgis field goals.
Well, okay. Wow. Three turnovers, interesting. Okay, Ed, what you got?
I see two Sturgis field goals. And I see Washington winning it in the end of the game, 21-20. And I will have tears in my eyes again.
21-20. Bob, what do you got?
Well, I think I'm going to get some soft pretzels and order some soft pretzels and ship them down to Ed, you know, with his tears in his eyes. So I'll get them in the mail shortly.
I'll be on an airplane.
Well, then I better find out where you're going.
I'm taking Mr. Furman to Los Angeles.
Okie dokie. Well, I see.
We'll get to that for a second right after these predictions.
As Captain Cooley, a huge Chip fan, I am going to pick the Eagles for the fourth week in a row. I'm very interested to see what Bill picks them, since he picked them 3 weeks in a row. So that should be interesting. But I think this is going to be one of them games where it's going to be kind of a boring Eagles win. I'm going to go with the same score I had last week, 27-17 Eagles. I think Bradford is going to have at least three good quarters instead of two, if he's even had two so far. But I don't think Matthews is going to drop any balls this week. So I think it's going to be just a nonchalant 27-17 win for the Eagles.
Well, I tell you what, I agree with Chet. I think the Redskins stink. But I think the Eagles probably stink a little bit too. I did pick the Eagles 3 weeks in a row, and as I said last week, I took them with really no logic other than the fact that you usually don't lose three in a row in the NFL, and guys have enough pride to play hard and win the game, and they came out and they did that. But I am going to actually, and I don't know that I've ever not picked the Eagles, but I'm going to pick Washington in this game. I'm going to pick Washington in this game. I'm going to pick a 24-21. I don't think the offense does get going. I think the key to the offense right now is Darren Sproles, or he's the key to the team. I don't know if he's the key to the offense. He's the key to the team, whether it's on special teams or getting out in space and making things happen. And I don't think he can do that every single game, and I think that's where they are. So I'm gonna go 24-21. Redskins. Oh, that kills me.
Guys, the Birds got a much-needed win on Sunday up at the Meadowlands over the Jets, and now they need to keep it going down in D.C., and that should happen. There are still various concerns. I mean, a new face on the O-line, Sam Bradford's inconsistencies, a new place kicker, but Chip Kelly's guys are taking baby steps, at least, back to being more of the team we thought they'd be. And, oh, yeah, the Redskins still pretty much stink. My week four pick, the Eagles 31, Redskins 17.
We have
love
to hear that again, just because he's the only guy that actually thinks this is going to be a bit of a blowout. So we had to put that out there again. Well, hey, no one called in and answered our trivia question. We couldn't even give this thing away. And by the way, we'll just go ahead and give the answer to the simplest question there ever was. The Eagles have only two receivers with more than 100 yards for the season. Name them. The obvious one was Jordan Matthews. He has 231 yards. We didn't even ask for the yards. And Darren Sproles with 118 was
that
the answer to
easy.
The question. All right. Well, there's your fearless predictions for the cast of thousands. So as we get to the top of the hour, let's thank Bob Sullivan, Ed Chambers, and Fred Hugo for joining us tonight. Also, Carl's Cards and Collectibles for their continued support of the show. Mary Flanagan, our marketing extraordinaire behind the scenes, and our sponsor, shopforkisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. For Jim Chetchesko, who will return next week, this is Bill Furman, hoping you enjoyed the show, and we'll join Philly Press Box Radio on Wednesday, October 7th at 7 p.m. with our special guest, Kevin Cooney of the Bucks County Courier-Times, to talk Eagles. And yes, we're going to talk a little bit of Phillies. Imagine that. You can listen to our Facebook page or on the Internet at www.blogtalkradio.com/Philly Press Box Radio. And now on both iTunes and Stitcher. High hopes, Philadelphia sports fans.